Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Well, I think there's some good news in it. It's not all bad news. I think that we've been down there six times. We had two fumbles on the one. We're down there on the one. We obviously can't do that. That's two of the six. We had a quick fly touchdown to Cortland. That's three of the six. That's pretty good. That could have been pretty good. We had a little flip toss to Beck. That should have been a touchdown. We went off sides. It can't happen. That's four of the six. And then we had the fifth one was probably the roll where I hit E on the sideline and we were just barely out. That's five of the six. Five of the six isn't bad. That's how I look at it.
This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
I listened to that yesterday. I went, huh. Yeah. Okay. We're close. Maybe it's not as bad as I thought. Everything
is awesome. There you go. The
guy's got like magic powers. He's like a sorcerer.
Hey, dude, we lead the league in almost touchdowns.
I know, but he's got me like thinking.
We lead the league in almost touchdowns, Mike.
I know, but we're close. I'm not kidding. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm like, you know what? I actually felt better about everything after that. How does he do it?
You fell for it?
Is that what you call it?
Well, I mean, what else?
Not fall for the banana and the tailpipe.
It's not me trying to be optimistic. It's me falling for it. Wow.
We're back. Such a cynic.
No, it's not a cynic. It's just like, dude, you can't. That's goal to go situations. Like, you can't be. I'm just looking through. I'm going to find where we got to be dead last.
Yeah, I can find that for you. I'll find that for you in the break. Next in four down.
Pure energy. Second down.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that we've really jumped into and wanted to make sure that we can get better at that. And it starts with me. And, you know, I'm doing every single thing I can to try to put myself in position to be able to make quicker, faster, more efficient decisions. George, Mooge, all those guys have been absolutely spectacular in helping me through that process because that is something that is new for me. And I think we're going to have some good answers as we move forward.
George Payton helping with streamlining the operations. How? How's he doing it?
I don't know.
What's he lending?
I don't know. Maybe he's taking up the Russell Wilson key to press conferences. Just mention everybody's name.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way.
I like that. That's a good
one. The Broncos in first and goal situations inside the five.
Uh-huh.
0.0%.
Yeah, that probably puts them last in the league.
Tied for 20. I think everybody is tied for 24th. So
they're
dead last in the league with Houston, with Indy, with Buffalo.
Buffalo.
They've scored from outside.
Right, they just haven't had any opportunities.
Right. They don't get inside the five.
If they do, they'll be just fine.
Yeah, outside the five.
Good.
Still early, though. These
we're not dead last.
Well, yeah, we are dead.
Well,
last.
Yeah, but with a lot of other teams.
Doesn't
matter. Mark, after what I heard, after Russell Wilson's were this close breakdown, yeah. I actually do feel better. I'm not lying.
This is how I actually feel better. This is how I got in trouble with Giants fans. You know that, right?
Over the red zone?
No, over almost. So,
almost. Okay.
So this is when Artie Stapleton, who apparently is a New York legend, right? Everybody. Artie is a beat writer or something, right? I'd never heard of him. And so, anyhow, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't pay any attention. So, DK Metcalf absolutely trucks back when James Bradbury played for the Giants. Trucks him. I mean, puts his head down. And you know me, I get all excited right on the broadcast. Right? I'm just going crazy. So, Stapleton guy, tweets me and says, yeah, but if you look at that play, I mean, James Bradbury, you know, as he's getting trucked, falling over backwards, almost created a fumble. And I was like, hey, dude, wait, like, you count almost fumbles? Is that like almost wins or almost touchdown? Like, I go, get out of here with your garbage. Nobody wants to hear that. And then all of a sudden, That's when Giant Fan came to the rescue.
Right. Because he's
I insulted the legend, Artie or Ari or Arnold or whatever his name is.
They like him talking about
Stapleton.
They like him talking about almost.
Yeah, they love the almost turnovers. I mean, you almost got in there.
Next and four down.
Third down.
I loved growing up in Denver. It was a great town. And I mean, my best memory was my senior year in high school when they beat the Packers for the Super Bowl. That probably wasn't just my best memory of Denver. That was one of my favorite memories in life. That was an awesome, awesome day.
Kyle Shanahan held the court. He's the last person in Super Bowl history to hold the head coach's cord, because Super Bowl 33, they went to cordless. And Kyle was on the cord of his father, Mike.
So you, back in the day, had a get-back guy, which you still have the get-back guy.
Got to have a get-back guy.
And you had the hold-the-cord guy.
Hold-the-cord guy.
Wow.
Make sure the head coach didn't get tangled up. Can you imagine how embarrassing? Head coach is doing circles, yelling at people. Next thing you know, his feet are all tied up like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And whoop, down he goes.
You know what? Thank God for cordless, because...
Could you imagine how mad Mike would be?
After the first 2 weeks, Nathaniel Hackett probably would have ended up trussed up in a cord and laid out on the ground.
He'd have been...
That had been added to his embarrassment.
It'd been like a snare, like some type of snare trap. He'd have been hanging upside down somehow on the sideline.
That's right.
Hanging upside down from his ankles.
Kind of like wound around a boom camera or something like that, and pretty soon he's just hoisted up.
This crazy thing!
Hoisted up by his petard. Next and four down.
One, two, three.
Fourth down.
We lose some good players, some guys that were big contributors for us last year. Guys played very well and got rewarded for it. And it's part of the game now. You're going to miss out on some guys that I'm sure that you'd like to keep. But I like the guys that we brought in. I mean, I think they all can fill a role for us, and our core will continue to grow.
Exceptional audio level from the Avs press conference there yesterday. Hey, they've been partying all summer.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a seamless operation from day one.
I've marveled at the Avs and, like what their offseason's like. And then I think to myself, how can they even be going back to camp right now? It just feels like they just won the Stanley Cup. But then I realized there's so much drinking in the offseason of the Stanley Cup. They're probably happy to go back to camp
right, just
to sober up.
Yes. Let's get out on the ice. Man, start sweating some of this stuff out.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks of camp is just about sweating out all your...
Been retaining a lot of beer
in
my ankles. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Up next, for a while, we looked at this stretch of games as must win. But have things changed? Are there reasons to look at it differently? I'll tell you why there are. Next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know, when this season started, when the schedule came out, I looked at these first three games and said, you got to be 2-1 at a minimum. 2-1, minimum.
Correct. Yeah, we talked about that.
Do you still feel that way? If you're going to make the playoffs, we're already at this point then. Is this a must-win? Can you go 1-2 and still get to where you want to be?
You can. It just makes it at the end of the season when your legs will be fresh. Just makes it more imperative.
Snark alert.
Right. It makes it more imperative.
Work on that fever. We need a snark alert.
Makes it more imperative to... to win those games when you got divisional matchups. Now, the nice thing is the Chargers have lost, and they lost in the division to the Chiefs, and the Raiders have lost twice. And so it's not like, I said before the season when everybody's picking the Chargers are going to win this division, slow down, Sparky. The Kansas City Chiefs are winning this division. But, I do think it gives I don't want to go 1-2, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Like, that's why those, your guy fumbling on the one-inch line.
My guy?
Yeah, your guy.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, my guy.
My guy was reaching out the ball on fourth down, already stopped. Your guy, Javonte Williams, butt fumbled. He went sand tries.
Your guy, who's reaching out on fourth down to one, scores. That ball was over the end line if it's in his hands instead of his greasy fingers.
Yeah, but he's reaching it all the way out there. I could have slapped it out.
It was coming out as he was reaching. By the time he got it out, it was over the goal line, but his greasy little fingers couldn't hold on to it.
Well, listen, as part of the greasy finger club, it's not as easy as it looks. Okay?
Mike, I'm just telling you, your guy.
But here's why I don't look at it the same way as I did when the season started.
Because Russell mesmerized you with some fancy talk.
There is some sorcery there. There's just no doubt.
Fancy talk.
There is no doubt.
I have to admit, he's
good. He's really good.
Dude, he just put a big old worm on the hook and he just laid it out there trolling and you were like, what is it, a worm?
Yeah, but look, the Raiders are 0-2. Titans are 0-2.
Yeah.
Colts 0-1-1. Bengals 0-2. Baltimore just blew a huge lead against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
New England's just with Squishy Mac. With.
It's
so cute. Squishy Mac. Squishy Mac.
I should send that. I want to send that audio to him.
To who?
Squishy Mac.
Oh, you got his number?
No. Oh. I mean, but just said, like, every time we talk about you, when we say Squishy Mac, that plays.
And we giggle. But what my point is that I think we all, it wasn't just me, all looked at the AFC. Wow, the AFC's going to be a beast this year.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these teams.
Yeah.
Look at these teams that the Broncos are going to be competing with for a wild card spot. Never mind just trying to win the division. Wild card spot. All these teams that I just mentioned, who all look, Cincinnati's in a, you know, we always talk about the Super Bowl hangover.
Mm-hmm.
For the team that wins,
mm-hmm.
It's actually more pronounced for the team that loses in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Much more of a hangover for the team that loses. Cincinnati appears to have that.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan looks washed. You'll have him in a few weeks, right?
Yes.
I'll tell him. He looks washed.
I'll tell him. My partner said you look washed.
That's right. Titans? Raiders? One of these teams are going to be 0-3 in all likelihood this week.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll both be 0-2-1. My point being is that, at least for now, if the Broncos lose on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like it would be as much of a death knell now as it did at the beginning of the season. Agree or disagree? Based on what these other teams are doing at the beginning.
I agree. I completely agree. And so, I mean, I'd love to get a victory. I would love. My confidence level is not high.
You said 40%.
Yeah, I'm giving the edge to the 49ers. I think they're a better overall team, Mike. And, you know, I said, if you went through confidence picks on offense alone, quarterback goes to Russell.
Yes.
Which is that's a huge victory. Running backs go to us.
Yep. Even my guy. That's including my guy. Greasy fingers. That includes my guy. You got to say it.
My guy. I just think of no muss about man can take the of my guy. You know?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. You know
that's
song?
Exactly what I was thinking.
He's Mike's guy. He may not be able to hold the ball, but when it comes to fumbling, he's got it all. Mike's guy.
I am amazed how you can do that.
Even with your guy.
My guy. They still are better at running back.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Okay.
Real quick. Wide receivers?
And I'll give that to San Fran.
Okay.
And I'll give O-line to San Fran.
Tight end?
Tight end, I'll give to San Fran. I think they may get Kittle back, too.
Yep.
Okay, so that's 3-2, right?
Yeah, but if you think you have the better quarterback, that's...
Right, that covers some more, right?
Right.
All right. Defensively, real quick?
Real quick. Like real 30 quick. Seconds.
D-line goes to SF.
Okay.
Linebacking core goes to SF. And DBs, I will give it to San Francisco as well right now.
What if Pat Surtain plays?
If, well, you've lost Justin Simmons, so safeties are a wash. If Pat Surtain plays, I think their two corners are better than Pat Surtain plays. I would give it probably to Denver. But okay. Yeah, but it's pretty tight because they went out and got Mooney Ward, who's a really good player, and Emmanuel Mosley's a good player too.
Coaching advantage?
Well, yeah, that goes to
at least for now.
Right.
Gotta go to Kyle. Coming up, what's trending? Something happened to an ESPN personality that we can all relate to. That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
They're back. The Avalanche kicked off training camp yesterday with Media Day.
How crazy is that?
Well, what's happened is that because as the league moves further and further away from the COVID shutdowns,
mm-hmm.
that they've been trying to get back to their original start time. And this is the customary start time for the season. So as a result, Avalanche playing into July, late June, July, they get the compressed off season. So
mm-hmm.
you said something earlier. We were talking about the difficulty in repeating. And you mentioned just being able to summon up that same kind of hunger that you had the first time around. But isn't a lot of that offset by the knowledge and the confidence that you now know how to do it? And that's a very powerful thing.
Right.
You know, you are one of the few teams that understand this is how you do it. And doesn't that give you a big advantage?
From a confidence standpoint, yeah, it gives you an advantage. But I will say this. You always lose a few guys. And there's a certain chemistry that you have that gets changed regardless. Like, Cadre is not there anymore.
Right.
And the problem with that, Mike, probably mentally, is when things don't go the way you want them to go or whatever, you can always look and go, God, I wish we still had that guy. Like, that guy. And sometimes it's not even that guy's play on the ice or on the field. Sometimes it's that guy's value in the locker room. Like, I always said, one of the things that hurt us, it just was incredible loss for us as a football team, was when Keith Burns left to go to Chicago, get a chance to be a starting middle linebacker. He was a special teams captain. He was a great player. But he was just locker room levity. And losing him was a really, that's a gut punch. You got to push that thing over.
I know, I'm pushing it. Ah, there we go.
Yeah, but he had the thing that was locked up.
Yes, thank you.
I can see it from over
here.
What were you doing?
IT guy.
Yeah.
What would you do if you caught a historic home run? A 20-year-old
mm-hmm.
Yankee fan caught Aaron Judge's 60th home run, and all he asked in return for the ball was a autographed bat, and a couple of his buddies were with him at the game. They all got to take a picture with Aaron Judge. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these baseballs are estimated are going to sell somewhere between $100,000 and $500,000 on the auction market. So let me ask the question. If you caught a historic home run ball like that, would you automatically give it back to the player?
No.
Or would you hold on to it?
Yeah, I would hold on to it as a memorabilia and see if I can make some money.
Great cash, homie.
Now, if you're 20 years old, think about 20-year-old Mark Schlereth. You're at a Steelers game. You admitted you grew up a big Steeler fan. You're at a Steelers game, and Franco Harris scores a touchdown
mm-hmm.
in jubilation. It's a record-setting touchdown. He throws the football up into the crowd, and you catch it.
Mm-hmm.
You're 20 years old. You going to hold on to that ball and sell it for all it's worth? Or are you just going to be like, I could take a picture with Franco? And maybe, you know, Jack Lambert?
Yeah.
You'd give it back, wouldn't you?
Just to be in that locker room? See a bunch of naked men? Yeah, you're darn right I would.
Okay, that did not go the way I thought it was going to go. Scott Van Pelt experienced something that I think we all, or most people, have experienced something similar. He was doing a Zoom call. And while he was doing a Zoom call, he's got a new puppy.
Uh-huh.
And his puppy dropped a big old deuce in the living room right behind Scott Van Pelt as he was doing the Zoom call.
Yeah.
I will throw this out on the text line because I know many of you have done Zoom calls over the last couple of years. Probably still doing them now. What's the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you or that you've seen while doing a Zoom call? Go. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043.
Be careful. Just be careful. Hey, how many people have done, like, they've been somewhere they're not supposed to be, right? Like, they've just green screening. You ever see the guy that's green screening, like, pretend green screening, like, Zoom calls, and he's at a basketball game, or he's got, they're pretty funny. Anyhow. Anything I'm doing?
I've been very careful.
Yeah.
Always aware of my background.
Yeah, no, I am too. And then I think a lot of the Zoom calls I've done with teams and stuff were in our meeting room, you know, so there's not much of a chance. I'm not in my underpants.
No, but you did one. I did one with you. Very crafty on your part.
Well, what did I do?
You had your grandson with you. And I was like, man, I think Stink is using his grandkid to move this thing along.
Well, we were watching our grandkid. My grandson loves...
He does love his popo.
He loves his popo. So he just always wants to be in my lap and, you know, studying football.
Yeah, but you could have handed him off. But yeah, you held on to him. Why?
Because I was trying to speed the Zoom call along. Like, oh, look how cute. Hey, guys, I'm sorry. I can't.
I was like, stay.
You know, I'll read the minutes. Does somebody record the minutes of the meeting?
That's a veteran move right there. Okay, it's a serious story, but follow me on this. Okay. A University of Utah student was arrested yesterday after she allegedly threatened to detonate a nuclear reactor on the campus at Utah if the football team had lost to San Diego State over the weekend. Good news is, Utah won the game 35-7, no issues. But it got me to thinking, there's a nuclear reactor on the campus at Utah? A college campus with college kid idiots running around? There's a nuclear... So I thought... So that got me interested. I'm like, there can't be many of them, right? Oh, no. Au contraire, mon frère. Did you know, Mark, that there are currently 35 operating university research reactors in this country?
What are they researching?
Nuclear power. There are 35 reactors. There are 33 reactor sites spread out over 24 states. You may be asking yourself, here living in Colorado, what's going on? What's around me? There is one in three bordering states, Utah, New Mexico, and Arizona. How do you feel about nuclear reactors on college campuses?
I don't, like, one, why was that game so important to her? And two, great motivator for Utah, right? Hey, forget
great
about...
Great motivator.
Right? Hey, forget about winning this one for the Gipper.
Right. This is for Armageddon.
Yeah. The nuclear reactor thing seems a little squirrely to me.
Right?
Like the campus...
I would assume this is guarded, right?
Hey, maybe they never guarded them because nobody really knew they existed, and now she's exposed
it. That's right, and I've exposed it, too.
Yeah. Let it go.
Sorry.
Doing greasy fingers.
Texter, Walker. Evans doesn't have to worry about what's going on behind him on Zoom because his head fills the whole screen.
I get it.
Good one.
Hey-o.
That is what is trending. We're getting some good Zoom mishaps.
Oh, really?
We'll read some of these as
all right.
coming up a little bit later on. That is what is trending. Coming up next, gotta ask, taking the temperature out there in Broncos country, what is your level of confidence going into this San Francisco game? That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Well, it's Thursday.
All day.
All day. And as we inch ever closer to Broncos 49ers Sunday night, I ask this question. Where is the level of confidence in Broncos country?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first best barometer for me is I just went to the fan football pick'em at denverfan.com.
Ooh.
Where, think about it, you have some, but every year we have over 10,000 people who are doing this. So it's a significant sample size.
Right.
And one of the great things about when you make the picks is you can get a sense of where the picks are going just percentage-wise.
Yeah.
Certain number of percentage of voters or people picking or picking this team versus that team. This is Denver.
Uh-huh.
This is Broncos country. Broncos usually, the picks rule the day, favor the Broncos.
Right. It's certainly weighted heavy. You know, the scales of justice, if you will, are weighted toward the Broncos when the Broncos play here.
Where would you say, because I know you're not looking.
No. How that works, too. Like 82% or whatever. Right. I'm going to say...
What do you think the percentage breakdown right now, the picks to this point?
I'm going to say the 49ers are at about 60%.
Very close. 56.
Yeah.
Which means the Broncos have how much?
44.
Yes!
Boom. That's math, people. Hey, you know what? Speaking of school and math, I'm going to make a quick shout out to my granddaughter, Drew Sarah. Bobo loves you, Drew. She's heading to school right now. She'll be doing some of those math problems.
All right.
6 years old today. Drew is six. Drew, my little Drewby is 6 years old today.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Happy birthday, Drew. Bobo loves you. I love you. Love you too, Quinny. They're heading to school right now. So
Uncle Mike loves you too.
Uncle Mike loves you. By the way, Drewby, you share a birthday with Uncle Mike's mom.
That's right. Happy birthday to my mom, Marsha.
I didn't know your name, your mom's name was Marsha.
Yes, Marsha.
Marsha. I did not. I guess I never asked what your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
She was just mom.
She was just mom, Mrs. Evans.
Right.
Yeah. So my mom, and she's in town visiting. So my mom.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Marsha.
Yep.
And happy birthday to you, Drew. Have a great day at school.
So,
yeah, we're back on it now. Sorry.
That's taken care of. Happy birthday wishes have been done.
Yes.
So apparently the confidence level is not very high out there. And judging by the texts we're getting, not a lot of confidence. Why? What's happened? Is the confidence level faltering simply because of what we've seen from the Broncos the last 2 weeks? You got to choose one of the two. From the Broncos the last 2 weeks... Or is it all of a sudden because Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback?
Oh, no. It wouldn't. I don't think.
If Trey Lance was still healthy in the quarterback this week, where do you think those numbers would be? Even with everything we know about the Broncos the last 2 weeks.
If the Niners won against Seattle with Trey Lance, he doesn't break his ankle.
Right.
He was moving the ball down the field. If they win, the numbers would be the same.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't think it
has. This Garoppolo thing is game changing for a lot of people.
There's
the perception,
Mike. This lack of confidence is to me is clearly not about the opponent as much as it is about their lack of confidence in Hackett and Russ Wilson doing these things together right now.
Wait a minute. Hold on. No. I'm calling you on that. You just said earlier that if Trey Lance was the quarterback, your confidence level in the Broncos would be 60-40.
Mine.
And that with Garoppolo now, it's 40-60.
Mike.
Confidence in the Broncos.
So we did this. We did this at Fox. We did this study, extensive Fox study, on people who watch the game casually. People who watch the game who say that they are big time, like a big fan, And then people who say they watch every play of every game every week, they hunker down, right? So you've got like three levels. It's kind of like, you know, here on the station we have, you're a P1, which is, you know, I don't know what that stands for, but you're like the top listener. You know, we just don't, never turn it off. The fan is always on, right?
We and love then, you, P1s.
Right. Okay, and then it goes down, right? So they did that. The fan who was in the third tier, so let's just call it tier one, tier two, tier three. Okay, the tier three guys, you know, I watch it if it's on. They ask them to name players, like name and number of players. They could get one person.
And how many of those make up the NFL audience?
A large majority.
The majority?
Yeah, a large majority.
The large majority are tier three.
Yeah, tier three, they're just like, hey, football's on. Great, let's watch. Hey, we're doing whatever we're doing.
Okay.
And then
can't name people.
Yeah, they can name maybe the quarterback. Then the tier two people, they can name three, it was like three or four people, but they can't always get the numbers correct. Okay? So if you just said to them, okay, hey, who's your favorite, like, who's your favorite wide receiver? Oh, Jerry Jeudy, like, he's so fast. What number is he wear? I think it's a teen number. Is it 19? Like, that's, and then the tier one people.
So these are the diehards.
Those are the middle of the road. Like,
yeah, tier two is the middle of the road.
The tier two is like, that's my team.
Right.
I follow them every week. They can name like four players or five players, but they can't always associate the number with.
All right, so that how much does that leave tier one? Because I think a lot of football fans think of themselves, I'm a football fan.
I'm a
Bronco fan. I'm diehard. I know my bleep.
The tier one folks, according to the Fox study, could name seven players on their team and the numbers. That was a national. I mean, it was a big.
Really?
Yes, big. So the plan. I don't even know what we're talking about. What was the point of this whole thing?
Confidence level.
Oh yeah, confidence level. Like, I don't think it has to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, because your tier one people here in Denver, they don't know the difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and, as a matter of fact, most people don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is starting right now. This has everything to do with the lack of confidence.
Yeah, but I think the people who listen to us, who listen to this station, who are part of the Fan Football Pick'em, that's the only sample size I have to go on, by the way, is the Fan Football Pick'em. But it's a pretty significant pool of people out there. And after the reaction of the crowd the other day tells me it extends a lot beyond just what we have here.
That crowd, I'm so proud of that crowd last Sunday.
That
crowd reaction, it had nothing to do with Houston. It was all about the Broncos. This is all about the Broncos. Here's the thing, Mike. You've been sitting with me for 6 years. We've been talking about football for 6 years. You still don't know anything. So how am I?
Wow.
How am I?
Bleep you, man.
How am I expected to believe?
For those watching on Twitch, here you go. All right, here you go, Mark.
How am I?
Double birds.
Yes. How am I supposed to believe that people can differentiate between Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, then you know what, folks? By him calling me stupid, he's calling you stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere.
No, I'm just saying you're not following the Niners.
Well.
Right?
I'd like to think that. I like to think that most of the people who listen to our show are well aware of what's going on with the Niners, well aware that Trey Lance is not the quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo is, and that is a significant development. It's significant because...
Ask the people. Here we go. Survey right now.
Yeah.
Your confidence level is waning because of what? For Jimmy Garoppolo being the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, or because of the lack of operational awareness and the lack of offensive production of the Broncos? That's what I'd like to know.
Mm.
Which one?
Okay.
Where is it? You get one or the other.
All right.
It's because of Jimmy Garoppolo, or it's because of the inconsistency of the Broncos offense, Nathaniel Hackett and Russ.
Speaking of Nathaniel.
I'm myself.
Speaking of Nathaniel Hackett, Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I guess I need to qualify all this since.
Cram it up your cram hole.
According to the Fox survey, nobody knows anything. So Matt LaFleur, who is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and has had Nathaniel Hackett on his staff the last 3 years as his de facto offensive coordinator, even though Matt LaFleur calls all the plays. Matt LaFleur was asked yesterday about Nathaniel Hackett and the struggles that Hackett is having here. And here's what LaFleur had to say.
Yeah, I think it's a process for anybody when you're in a new role. And, you know, I got all the confidence in the world that he's going to do a great job. And I don't know necessarily all the nuts and bolts of the details to what you're talking about. But, you know, it's important that you lean on other people as well. And but I got a lot of confidence in him, not only as a coach, but he's super organized and he'll figure it out. No doubt about it. So everybody needs to stop hitting that panic button down there.
At LaFleur, stop hitting the panic button. He's channeling his quarterback.
Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
R-E-L-A-X.
He sounded a little too cool.
Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, there's almost a McConaughey, like, I don't know all the nuts and bolts of what's going on down there, but you need to quit hitting the panic button.
All right.
By the one, Zach just texted me. Zach Bye. Our own Zach Bye.
Yeah, the one and only.
Yeah. P1 is code for someone who has the fan as preset one in their radio, in their car's radio dash.
Oh, okay.
P1, preset one.
Huh. Okay. The more you know. I did not know that.
Yeah, and he gave me the more you know little gif, you know, with the star, the rainbow thing behind it. The more you know.
The more you know. Huh.
Preset one.
Preset one. Folks, make us preset one. If you haven't.
Fans preset one in my car.
Yeah, mine too.
Makes me a P1.
You are a P1. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
I always listen to your show.
Reaction.
Actually, I don't really listen to your show.
I know. Reaction. Confidence in the Broncos is waning because of Hackett, hands down. I'm concerned because of Hackett. I'm a diehard. No, never mind. I don't like that one.
Ooh.
No, nothing bad. Just wasn't well written.
Okay. Oh, wow. Now we're grading English. You are Professor Evans. It's not well written enough, people.
It's not well written enough. It doesn't sing to me.
Mm-hmm.
If Lance was in, it'd be 50-50, but Jimmy has enough of an edge that I'm feeling San Fran beats us. You know, very quickly, I just want to say this about Jimmy Garoppolo. For all the people who are like, well, now that Jimmy Garoppolo's in there, we got no chance. You have said repeatedly, whenever we've talked about Jimmy Garoppolo will do this, he'll do that, but one thing for sure you know he'll do, there'll be at least 2 to 3 balls that he will throw to your defense. It's what you do with them. Right?
Yeah.
Has that changed?
No, I can't imagine it changing.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo will... Like, he's very good at understanding where he wants to go with the football. He knows, you know, exactly where, and he can spin it. Like, there's very few people that
He throws it well.
That throw it as well as Jimmy does. But he will predetermine, based on the look, where that ball is supposed to go. And if you can be really late as a defense, meaning... If you show him or present to him a look and you can be late in your defensive rotation, so last minute, all of a sudden, you're showing two high safety, and all of a sudden you're playing cover one robber, bam, and that one safety comes down and robs the middle of the football field, and he's already decided, hey, man, I'm throwing this shallow cross regardless. Whoop, going the other way. And it happens. Now, the thing about them is they do a really good job of exactly what we're struggling here. Break the huddle early. Make sure we get our shifts and our motions in so we get a pre-snap read. And most of the time, that pre-snap read is the correct read. So Jimmy's going to deliver the ball on time in that situation. Now, if you can trick him in those pre-snap reads, which is hard to do, right? It's hard to hold disguise. It's just hard. It really is without, tipping your hand on who you really are.
We'll get back to the level of Broncos country. Confidence going into the San Francisco game.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.